Welcome to Talking Supply Chain. In each episode, top supply chain industry professionals and the nation's top thought leaders join host Brian Strait and share their unique insights to help supply chain managers stay one step ahead of their competition. This is Talking Supply Chain. Hello, my name is Brian Strait, Editor-in-Chief of Supply Chain Management Review, and this is Talking Supply Chain. Thank you for joining us today. I'm quite sure most of you are familiar with artificial intelligence, or AI as we like to call it, and most of you have probably used a device that uses AI. Some of you may even use it in your own job functions today. It's actually quite impossible, if you will, to avoid AI these days. It's used in automation and robotics, in visibility and tracking, financial and procurement functions, just to name a few in the supply chain. But today there's a new term that's being thrown around quite a bit, and that's generative AI. So what is generative AI? Joining me today is Nate Powery. Nate is Executive Vice President of Data Analytics for Global Supply Chain and Operations Consultancy, SGS Main Point. And he is, I hope, going to help us understand a little better about what generative AI is, what it can do today, and what it might do for the supply chain in the future. Welcome, Nate. It's great to have you here.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me here today.
Yeah. Before I get into those topics, I want to give you a chance to tell our audience a little bit about yourself and who you are and who SGS Main Point is.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Nate Powery. Like Brian said, I head our data analytics and digital practice here at SGS Main Point. SGS actually acquired Main Point as part of their strategy to extend their service offerings and move up the supply chain. Basically, if you haven't heard of SGS, they're the world's largest certification, inspection, testing company in the world. And they wanted to aim their services at companies wanting a more comprehensive solution with implementation services. So this allowed SGS to provide not only quality assurance to their customers, but also operational excellence, helping organizations be more agile, resilient, and competitive in the marketplace. And that's what we do at Main Point. We are a global supply chain and operations consulting firm, and we aim to drive measurable performance across the whole end-to-end supply chain and operations spectrum.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and you as I know, you've got quite a bit of background in, like I said, you said in data and technology and whatnot. So I'm hoping that you can give us kind of a better understanding of what this generative AI is. And to start, I think a lot of us think of AI as AI, right? And not all AI is the same, as we're learning. Can you kind of explain what generative AI is and how it differs from traditional AI?
Yes. Let's briefly understand what we mean by artificial intelligence or AI. This technology dated back to the 1950s, and primarily the focus was automating tasks and making decisions based on data. Over the years, we've seen rapid advancements in this AI technology that has allowed computers to become more capable of ever extending their reach into human-like functions. But this is where the story becomes particularly relevant for us today with the advent of generative AI. The generative AI tools really aimed at a consumer-facing side in late 2022 and has significantly changed the public perception of capabilities and promise of AI we've always talked about for the last decade. So generative AI basically has the capability to produce new information or new content. The emergence of these large language models like GPT have really set themselves apart with their ability to understand complicated queries. This also enables these models to have conversations that feel more natural. They mimic the kind of interactions we might have as human analysts. So additionally, their functionality can be further, broadened into various extensions of enterprises now. This effectively introduces an element of creativity we haven't seen over the last decades with AI and traditional implementations of AI.
Yep. So would you, to help me understand this a little bit, when I go on to a website and I get a customer, a chatbot that comes on, right? Is that an example of generative AI?
Chatbots have evolved into extending into a form of generative AI, but in itself, chatbots have been around for several years now, right? But they are augmenting their capabilities with the addition of generative AI. So when you first have your chat conversation with the chatbot, now it can actually simulate different scenarios based on what you're feeding it and training off of. Very fascinating.
Yeah. So going to the times where I say, hey, I got the problem, and the chatbot immediately comes back and says, we'll need to get you in touch with somebody for that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So when talking about supply chain management and generative AI, you know, supply chain management is this broad term that encompasses a lot of different aspects, a lot of different functions and functionalities. Where do you see generative AI changing the landscape the most in supply chain management? Is there certain areas that it's most effective in?
Yeah, sure. So in traditional supply chain, the challenge has also often been the siloing of information between different departments. They have different pieces of the puzzle. In trying to put together actionable insights has been a challenge across the whole end-to-end supply chain. AI-powered analytics has changed that by rapidly ingesting and integrating this data from multiple sources. You know, we call them breaking down the barriers of information and enabling faster and more accurate decision-making. So basically, if you now take it a step further and involve generative AI, generative AI has the potential to act as our smart assistant. This can basically give us real-time quality control, like we talked about with chatbots, make suggestions, and even help enforce consistency across the different supply chain departments. So, you know, that's a key note I want to take the audience, you know, if they have a key takeaway to this, is we are really going to see this fundamentally change the landscape of supply chain management by having generative AI as a smart assistant. You know, imagine a supply chain when you can not only predict potential bottlenecks, but also generate multiple solutions to navigate around them before they even occur, right? So, you know, with the onslaught of COVID, and, you know, think about all the different industries had to go into risk mitigation mode, right? Having these kind of smart assistants at their side would have proactively sped up what the best proactive solution for their supply chain strategy should have been to mitigate the risk, right? So very interesting times we live in with generative AI.
Yeah, it's, as you mentioned, it's kind of been around a little bit, but it's kind of coming into its own now. But are there particular problems that it really is very good at solving?
Yeah, great question. Great question, Brad. So generative AI really shines when it's applied to specific problems that require really the combination of what my team does, the data analytics, and bringing the creativity and foresight. For example, in supply chain management, you know, we often focus on challenges like demand planning and inventory forecasting and the what-if scenario planning for contingencies. It takes a massive amount of data to make sense, but also, you know, how to make those various recommendations of scenarios. You know, this is really where I think the applicability of the broad spectrum of what generative AI can do is cutting down and reducing the time it takes to do a lot of these capabilities that we do as consultants, right? There was also a recent GitHub survey that I saw last week, actually. It showed 92% of developers are already using these AI-powered coding assistants, and 70% of them believe that those tools are giving them a distinct advantage to work. So wow. This suggests that generative AI has found a valuable niche in automating and enhancing tasks that require a high level of technical skills like coding, which is crucial in what we're developing these capabilities and solutions around for supply chain management, right? So if these AI-powered tools can sift through vast code libraries, recommend optimizations, and detect bugs, those tasks take the human a significant amount of time to accomplish, right? Our data analysts, right? Spending weeks, months sifting through the vast array of enterprise data. So that's really where I think generative AI is best suited to solve these problems.
And for our data analysts sitting out there, we're not talking about this replacing their jobs, right? I mean, this is to augment.
This is
support them, right?
Absolutely. This is, I reinforce this message every day, not only for our analysts, but also our executives, right? It's allowing our analysts to shift their skill set and versatility and focus on, you know, curating the experience that they're going to have with these smart assistants, right? Because you're always going to have to tweak the model, and you're going to always have to ask questions to derive to insights that are applicable for the business, right? And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go on. But that is absolutely key, right? We are not saying this is going to replace certain job functions. This is going to help as an extension of taking a lot of the manual work out of it and really focusing on driving actionable insights.
Yeah, I you know, as a side, I guess related to this, I was reading an article just yesterday, actually, not in the supply chain, but in the world of journalism, where a publication, and I won't name it, but many people can find it out there. It starts with an M and has an S and an N in it, was using AI to rewrite some articles, right, that had been published elsewhere. And the AI was, it was just changing the words, right? It was using, you know, similar words to what the original articles were. And when it was finished, the content was just unreadable. And the complaint was not that they were using the AI, but that they had eliminated the human, the human assistant, if you will, to the AI that was supposed to go back and make sure that this was a legitimate readable article. Right. And I think it's probably the same kind of thing in the supply chain too. I mean, you can use the AI, the generative AI to generate some of these scenarios and whatnot, but you still need that human function to make sure that what you're getting is usable and beneficial to the organization.
Agree. You know, absolutely.
You talked a little bit about AI and you kind of hinted at like use cases and things. And I think that maybe our audience out there would benefit if you could explain some specific type of use cases that might be where it might be beneficial to use generative AI, so they can see, hey, I actually do this. Yes, this would work in my organization as well.
Absolutely. Examples really help in understanding the practical applications of any technology, right, Brian? So yeah. Let's talk about, you know, what we do at MainPoint. We have what we call total value optimization, which is our signature approach to creating a resilient and agile supply chain. We call TVOs to seek to synchronize the buy, make, move, fulfill supply chain. And we're really trying to deliver the greatest value to our customers and stakeholders. Generative AI dovetails beautifully with this model. And I kind of want to share some very specific real life use cases that we've embraced over the last couple of years. One being, is really around procurement, focusing around spend intelligence. We recently had a project that involved sifting through 350,000 invoices. And that 350,000 invoices was a span of over 2 years, but still pretty significant, right? Yeah. So generative AI really enabled us to efficiently extract and classify the line item level detail that we desperately needed from those invoices, because it didn't exist in their enterprise transactional system. Basically, they were looking at the final total summation of the invoice and plugging that in their system, but they were missing all of this very key components of the item level detail that we needed. So if you imagine, if I asked our data analysts to do that, you can imagine that would have took months, right? And I would had have 5-6 individuals help that individual. But we basically were able to train the AI, generative AI, to look at different areas within the invoice. And what's different about generative AI is it wasn't like the invoice every single page was in the same exact spot, right? You would have a shift of the items maybe had been shifted down the screen. So it wasn't like we could have used just OCR technology. We really needed to curate it based on looking for and running through scenarios, right? we did this basically with a little guidance, a little training of the model. We were able to take 350,000 invoices and scrape all the information within a matter of days. It was a game changer, right? And so we built our spend cube that was able to give our procurement team members and the executive stakeholders the information they needed to drive the compelling ROI that we delivered for them. Another example is we just recently worked with an automotive aftermarket client. And again, dealing with large ERP transactional data sets, we took their sales, their inventory movements, their logistics shipments, and we built this very complex model. But we also leveraged our generative AI assistant to look at the model we created, and then within a matter of minutes, give us recommendations of where we should put our energy and focusing on scenarios. So in the past, our data analyst would have to make those recommendations themselves based on another curated experience of going through dashboards, going through reports and making their own assumptions, right? But these smart assistants now can take all of that consolidation and give recommendations based on the scenarios that it runs itself, right? So it basically allows us, especially in what we do, we do this in a matter of weeks, and we call them analyses, but we're responsible to give our stakeholders, our executives, our clients information that gives us a blueprint of what the implementation phase should be, right? So having these recommendations on the table to review within a matter of days now is a game changer, in my opinion, right? And this is what organizations can build in-house with their teams, right, moving forward. So fascinating, but as you can imagine, we've got some real-life examples now that we've applied to.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, think of all the time you're that's saving. That time is now, those people can invest their time in something else that's important to the organization.
Absolutely.
So much there. And I think also the other thing I think that this probably ties into is, let's look at the last few years of the supply chain and the disruptions and everything that's happening, and how you have to move so much quicker now on things. You know, a ship gets stuck in the Panama Canal, Suez Canal, was it Suez Canal, I guess, that it got stuck?
Yeah.
A ship gets stuck, right? And all of a sudden, you don't have weeks to figure out what to do here. You know, you've got stuff sitting there, can't get through it. What do you do? How do you make that adjustment? And if your people are tied up trying to solve a problem that you can do in days versus weeks, the AI, right? I mean, it's so much more efficient and productive for your organization.
That's absolutely right, Brian. Yeah.
Yeah. Generative AI is a technology, right? I mean, it's data, it's technology. And I think one of the things that, you know, I hear a lot from companies about technology is that they deploy this technology and it doesn't do what they thought it was going to do. In some cases, they didn't know what it was supposed to do. In other cases, maybe they're not getting the right data into the technology and whatnot. I think a good example, a simple example of this is tracking technology and visibility of an item. Right, you know, you can ship an item and it gets scanned when it gets loaded onto a ship for instance, out of Asia or a container. But if you don't have you don't have data along the route, you don't know anything about that item, where it's going, where it's going, until it shows up somewhere, and then it's there. So you don't really truly have that end-to-end visibility that everybody says they have these days. And that's just the lack of data, right? So whether it's sensors or what, but you're not getting the data that you need to generate that information. So I suspect that generative AI is very similar in that way too. Like if you don't have the data in it, or you're not using it correctly, you're not going to get the value out of it. So can you talk a little bit about what some of the advantages are? And I think more importantly, what some of the limitations are of generative AI and what prevents it from doing what you want it to do?
Great question. So let's begin with the advantages. So generative AI brings a level of adaptability that traditional data analytics tools just can't match. And it can use synthetic data to fill in gaps that we once didn't even have a chance to include into our modeling, which allows us to have richer analysis and better decision-making. Like I talked about before, its ability to create multiple what-if scenarios helps our clients and our consultants better prepared for a wide range of outcomes. Again, focusing on how do we make the supply chain more resilient to disruptions. But it's also important to understand that generative AI is not a one-size-fits-all for solutions, right? We should augment this into our toolkit. And sometimes it can be overkill for basic skills or solutions we're trying to bring to the table for our clients. So the real power of generative AI comes when we need to simulate complex interactions and outcomes. So there are limitations to this. You know, first, generative AI can be data hungry, and the quality of the data matters. We always hear the term garbage in, garbage out, right? Yep. That's still applicable with these kind of models. If the data used to train these models is flawed or biased, the outputs will also be flawed, right? So again, that's where you need your data analysts, your data scientists, your subject matter experts all to come to the table, right? To make sure that they approve and they have the right quality checked off the box. Second, these models can be very computationally intensive. So obviously we have Microsoft, we have Amazon, we have Google. We have a lot of these companies that are building enterprise level platforms that you can then tap into, but you really need to consider the terms of what is the total cost of ownership if you're going to include these into your ecosystem. Again, your chief technology officer is going to have to sit with you at the table to identify, you know, what are the trade-offs? What do you need to consider for the ROI? And again, this is near and dear to me because for my last decade with Mainpoint, we've always tried to refrain from what we call them black boxes. Generative AI can be black boxes. Basically, it's making it hard to dissect how a particular decision or suggestion was made from these models. I mean, this can be a significant roadblock in industries that require a high level of audibility or transparency, right? So in summary, while generative AI offers a powerful tool set for complex data analytics, it also comes with its own set of challenges that organizations need to be aware of for sure.
Yeah, and you know, I think you touched on this, but the size of the data set that you're using makes a difference, I assume, and right, and how effective a generative AI is. And I guess from that standpoint, my question really is kind of, you know, if you're a smaller company, is generative AI not going to be as effective for you because the data set isn't big enough for that, or is there still value and benefit there?
Yeah, so the size of the data set can have a significant impact on the effectiveness of your model. Particularly when it comes to what we said, the accuracy or the reliability, right? So generally speaking, in machine learning and AI, having more data generally enables the model to learn better and make more accurate predictions or simulations. And this is especially true for generative AI. It often requires large data sets to understand the nuances or the complexities of the particular scenario. It's not just the quantity, it's the quality, right, that matters. So it doesn't matter the size of your organization. Most companies now, even if you're small, you have an abundance amount of transactional data in your enterprise. The key is, you know, working with your data analysts, working with your controllers, the people that are responsible for governing and maintaining that transactional systems, coming together and making sure that whatever you're going to process and analyze, that you agree that this is the scope of work that you're going to put into these models. And that's really going to impact the effectiveness of what generative AI can do for your organization.
Yeah. So the quality is what you're looking for there.
Absolutely.
Generally, and that goes, I think, to the previous question too, a little bit about the, you know, the people who use technologies and don't end up getting the results that they expect. If the data quality is not there, then it doesn't really matter. You're not going to get the benefits that you should be getting if you do that use that. I always like to ask people, and people don't always like answering these questions, but I'll put you on the spot if I could. Looking ahead, we're kind of in the early days of generative AI, I think, for the most part. Can you kind of look into your crystal ball and how do you see it evolving in the supply chain and data analytics over the next, say, 5-10 years?
Yeah, it's a fascinating question that I always get asked, even prior to generative AI from our stakeholders at Mainpoint. It's always a bit of a risky to make predictions in technology, right? And it's hard for me to follow anything or track anything out 6 months or more.
Yeah.
I see several trends really over the past 12 months that could guide the evolution of this space alone, generative AI. I really think, the mention of smart assistants, right? These smart supply chain systems that are powered by generative AI. Look, we're seeing this every day now. We work with a lot of strategic partners, technology partners. They're all within the next 12 to 15 months from now are going to be deploying their generative AI assistants in their platforms. So, one of my recommendations to companies right now is look at your technology stack, look at your vendors you work with, because almost all of them now are preparing for how they're going to embrace generative AI. And this is really where I think the trend is going to take shape over the next 12 months. We also talk about edge computing and IoT devices, not specifically within the supply chain side, more of the operations house, although it's, transportation logistics has a lot of IoT tracking as we speak. But I think generative AI is going to make this more accessible and more integrated into daily operations of the supply chain. So I really look at that, taking all the smart sensors that we see. If you look at the scale, the number of sensors that are in the ecosystem now, it's incredible, right? So yeah. When you start talking about revolutionizing real-time tracking, this is where it could be a game changer. Another point I look at is AI ethics and transparency. I think, you're going to see the advancement in what we call explainable AI. We need to make these models transparent and accountable, like I mentioned before, right? We need to make sure that in supply chain contexts where decisions have significant economic and environmental impact, that everybody understands of what that model is doing and why the recommendations are telling it what to do, right?
Yeah.
And then the final point on this, I really look at sustainability. I think generative AI could play a pivotal role in creating more of a sustainable supply chain, looking at carbon footprints, waste reduction, in addition to traditional metrics like cost and time, right?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, good. I'm fascinated to see where it goes, honestly. We've got just a couple minutes left. Wanted to do a final thought for companies that maybe have listened to this conversation. Maybe you're sitting here saying, geez, do I need to get involved in generative AI? Do I even have it? Maybe I even have it already. I don't know it. Right. But can you offer a couple of tips on how they can get started, where they need to look? And I think probably the most important thing in my mind anyway, maybe you would come up with another one, but maybe you'll agree with me too, is, setting proper expectations for using it in your organization. So that you're not disappointed.
Yeah. So the first step is what I call start small, think big, right? This is, in my book, it's usually the hardest, but it doesn't have to be monumental. Start with a specific problem or small scale project that you think could benefit from generative AI, right? Understanding the definition of what generative AI is just a key to understand, to have situational awareness, but really look at a specific use case, right? And again, that's where you can embrace your technology partners, look at what your ecosystem of your tech stack looks like, and see if one of one of your partners could explore that small scale project with you. You know, before you invest in any AI technology, make sure your data is in good shape, right? So if you're focusing on procurement, if you're focusing on transportation, make sure that you have invested the time to clean the data and prepare it, right? And this is where having your data analysts, having your data scientists and your subject matter experts work together. Form a team, create a team that doesn't just include those analysts and AI experts, but also supply chain managers and stakeholders. Make sure you have a holistic approach to this, right? Manage expectations. It's easy to get caught up in the excitement of this, but it's also crucial to manage both your own and your stakeholders' expectations. Make sure everybody understands the limitations and the potential of this technology, right? Training. Can't stress that enough, right? There's so many courses out there. There's so many webinars and wikis that you can take advantage of along with your partners. And take advantage that your team that you set up has a basic understanding of generative AI, how to interpret the outputs and how to integrate those insights into your processes. And then I think finally, iterate and adapt. You know, once you've implemented your first generative AI project, don't consider it set in stone. These systems learn and improve over time. And your understanding of the capabilities and limitations will also evolve, right? So just like I'm going through right now, it's make it a point to regularly review and adjust your approach accordingly. That would be my advice.
Yep. Thank you, Nate. AI in general, I think, is fascinating technology. And I think that the generative AI is just taking it to another level, obviously. And we're going to hear a lot more about this and all of you out there, if you're not using it yet, you will be. I guarantee it. So we're out of time, unfortunately, though. So we can't go any further on this topic, as much as I'd love to. Nate, I want to thank you for joining us. It was a pleasure to have you with me today.
Thank you.
Look forward to connecting with you in the future. I hope all of you out there got something out of this today. Like to extend a special thank you to each of you for listening and taking the time out of your day to spend time with us, with me and Nate. For Supply Chain Management Review and the Talking Supply Chain Podcast, I'm Brian Strait. Thank you for listening. Talking Supply Chain is produced by Supply Chain Management Review and Peerless Media. You can find it on scmr.com, supplychain247.com, iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. For more information on this topic or to sign up for our weekly newsletter, a print or a digital subscription to our publication, visit scmr.com. We hope you will join us for our next episode. For Supply Chain Management Review, I'm Brian Strait, and thank you for listening.